Today is a day of blessing. We've been blessed by a father. Let's get into that. Father, we thank you, God, for blessing us with your father's blessing. You even sing over us words of life, words of uplifting. Lord, it's up to us to step into those words. We can know about them. We can hear about them many, many, many times. We can read your word, hear prophetic words, have a dream, vision, picture. But unless we step into what you've blessed us with, Lord, we don't receive the entire fruitfulness. We don't receive the benefits. We don't benefit the kingdom. We don't build your kingdom. Lord, we present ourselves to you today as children, needing blessing, needing your empowering, needing your courage to step into the often very high things you want us to step into, God. Take dull hearts, every dull heart, and speak to those hearts, God. Take every radical heart and speak to those hearts. Take every excited heart and speak to those hearts, Lord. Take every heart that's hurt and heal those hearts, and then speak your life into those hearts, God. We receive it all today from your hand. We need it all today from your hand, from your mouth, from your lips, into our hearts. Your word will make the difference in our lives. Your word spoken from you in the Bible or right from your spirit to our spirit, Lord. The words of life, we receive them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a message I attempted to give one time, and I started the prayer and never quit. And so we dismissed after the prayer. Sometimes, when we're speaking to God, it's the best place to be rather than speaking at each other or hearing someone speak about what God has spoken. It's often best just to pray to him, hear from him, pray over each other. Today you'll have a chance to pray an empowering prayer. Those of you that are fathers or fathers-to-be, heads of households, how many know that there is no longer any gender in the kingdom of God, in one sense? We have our roles, but he's empowered both genders. There's neither male nor female that have less empowering in the spirit. If you haven't noticed that from Pastor Mary Pat, she's a prime example. She goes to Mozambique, stays in the tent, leads the charge there as a female. And there are male leaders under her charge as she speaks out the word of God. She's an example for all young women or women that are just a smidge older to go after God with all your hearts and not be limited. There is no glass ceiling to be broken in the kingdom of God anymore, because God decided long ago. Again, we have our roles. We must fulfill those roles. But there shouldn't be any limitation on how God can empower male or female. That had nothing to do with what I was going to share. How did we get off on that? Let's have the quote. Maybe we'll get back on track. The Father's blessing binds our hearts to the presence of God in us and ties the generations together under him. God's very interested in blessing us. Very interested in that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is called the blessing. Maybe you've heard of Toronto. They called it the Toronto Blessing. Why? The Holy Spirit was very active and seemingly doing new things. Actually, there were the things he always wanted to do. He needed new hearts to do them in. And so people went to Toronto, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, and you would go in there and have to step over bodies on the floor because people were crying before God, repenting, receiving from the Holy Spirit. Some of us went there to get in on the goodness and have had our lives changed because of it and have decided we're not going back. We're not going backwards. We want more of that blessing on our lives. We want to see the Holy Spirit released in his fullness. We want to step over bodies that are crying out to God. We want to see people transformed and not just have this theory that Jesus is pretty good and you ought to get some of him. Actually, he's the absolute best, and we need all of him, not some of him. The whole loaf, not a slice, not a crumb. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all gave formal blessings to their children. Jacob also gave it to some of his grandchildren. It was typically given at the end of a patriarch's life as it drew near. In the modern Jewish tradition, it is my understanding that the father in many families blesses his children on Friday nights, on Rosh Hashanah Eve, and on Yom Kippur before leaving for the synagogue. They still recognize that father's blessing of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. Father's blessing was a high honor to receive for a child. Losing a father's blessing was equivalent to receiving a curse. There were implications of birthright and inheritance that were sealed by a father giving his blessing. Maybe you can kind of picture what's wrong with America, what's wrong with parts of the world where children are without fathers, let alone a father's blessing. They're without fathers. Fathers wanting to be involved in their children's lives, who are orphans themselves, often walk away, can't live up to their responsibilities. Without the empowering of God, you can't give a father's blessing in fullness. You are just saying words, even if you're nice to your children and build up their self-esteem. Being a teacher for 25 years, I had many children walk through the door. They needed their self-esteem built up. And you do the best you can as teachers. The entire staff wanted to build up the self-esteem of some of the children, but they needed much more than that. And they would come at lunch and say what was really going on in their lives. They would see that there was something of Jesus in me, and they were drawn to it. At first I thought, why would you want to stay in for lunch with me and eat lunch with me when you could go out to recess and play on the playground? What is wrong? You didn't even want to eat lunch with your friends. You'd rather eat it with me. All I'm doing is grading papers. They would, at the end of my career, stand in line and argue over who was going to stay in with the teacher. I tried to have a punishment of having them stay, and it didn't work. And it wasn't me. I know what I lacked as a teacher. In part, probably my staff members and principal knew a bigger part, but God knew even more. And after your teaching career, you realize, oh, I could have done so much more. And if every teacher doesn't feel that, then it wasn't really about the children. But they would come, and they would want to spend time with me. What was that all about? I was trying to share joy with them at that time. It wasn't about schoolwork. It wasn't about what they needed to learn. I was trying to be someone that was a role model to them. someone that could speak into their life. I saw their hurts. I saw their pain in their family. They needed a father, and I couldn't be that to them. All I could do was offer some fun or joy or encouragement, or you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But I'm getting an F. You can do it. But I'm not doing well with my friends. That can improve. You're on your way up. You're not on your way down. And then some of them would say, I know you go to church. I know you go overseas. What's that all about? They would want to know. They'd ask me the questions. Didn't have to ask them so much. They asked me. I was in a school district that allowed some of that. When I first started teaching, they let me present the entire gospel before school officially started in the mornings. Draw it on the overhead. Remember the overhead? We've progressed. But it used to be drawn on the overhead. One of the parents complained to the principal. The principal said, I need to see your presentation. Come on up. So I said, I usually spread this out over, you know, several weeks, a little bit at a time, but I'll present it to you in 5 minutes. So I shared the gospel on the overhead, just like I would with the kids. I just condensed it for the principal, and she said, I don't have the faith you have. That was her comment. I see nothing wrong with this. That was her comment. I said, well, it's not about my faith. It's about what Jesus can give us, what he's done for us. I had a chance to share with the principal. She took it to the superintendent. The superintendent said, I don't see anything wrong with it. Unbelievers, they didn't care about Jesus. They were struggling to even come to faith to Jesus. The one that eventually shut it down was a spirit-filled Christian. Told the principal at the time, tell him to stop sharing that. The unbelievers were hungry. The ones that wanted an answer to life, they were hungry. They wanted to even see it themselves, and they were not offended by it. In a sense, one of our own decided to shut it down. Interesting. The blessing contained encouraging words, details of the inheritance to be received, and powerful prophetic words, not all of them easy to hear. These prophetic words spoken by the believing father were empowered by the Father in heaven. So it can be traced in the Bible in many instances where they proved extremely accurate, the prophetic words. These weren't just blah, 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 blah over my children, tradition, blah, 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 blah. Hope you do well. It's not a graduation speech. These were empowering words from a father that knew God and knew God must empower what he was saying to his children at the end of his life because he was passing on. He had no more influence. And God put those words in many of those faithful, believing fathers. Put words of power, words of substance in them. When they spoke them out, you can trace through the Bible the sons they were spoken to and what happened, and the prophetic words came true. It wasn't just blah, 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 blah. May it be the same for us. When we speak over sons and daughters, as fathers, mothers, heads of households, single parents, may God take those words and empower them in the life of those children, the precious treasure of the church. I decided a long time ago I was not going to keep children away from me as any kind of leader. As a teacher, I took risks. Yes, I took risks. I would hug a child. Isn't that terrible that that's a risk in our day? But we know why. There's so many that can't be trusted. So maybe that was why they ended up coming in at lunch. They trusted me. I wasn't going to hurt them. I wasn't going to, you know, just lay the law down on them. I was going to try to love them with a little bit more than the love I had. The love of Jesus. So what we're all called to. Love beyond the love we have. You don't have enough love in your tank to love people. That should be obvious. That should be obvious. We need the love of Jesus flowing through us to others. Then we can love with joy and sacrifice, and we don't end up complaining about the very people we're loving. I want more of that. I need more of that. These prophetic words spoken by a believing father were empowered by the Father in heaven, so it can be traced in the Bible in many instances where they proved extremely accurate. These were truly words that brought life, not just the traditional or trite thing to do. If we look at Genesis 49, the whole chapter is Jacob's blessing on his sons. If we go to verse 22, he speaks of Joseph. Maybe you've heard of him. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers had bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separated, who was separate from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. So that was just a selection out of that passage, and there are other passages where Abraham blesses and Isaac blesses and so on. You don't have to be a poet to give out a father's blessing. Much of this is in poetic language that scholars spend their time trying to figure out what in the world it meant. For instance, with Benjamin, a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Sounds like he just wants to frequent restaurants. But actually, he was a warrior. The generations after him were warriors, and they truly did divide the spoil of the land. They won many victories and battles. So this speaking into Benjamin happened in real life. Some of you have received prophetic words for your life, and they've been forgotten. Do you know that that was part of the father's blessing? Maybe your father didn't speak it over you, your earthly father, but your heavenly father did. It's time to remember what those were, what those blessings were, what those prophetic words were. They were life for each one of us. I have some of those. I need to step into some of those more. The ones I remember, they're so high. How can I, as a little child, step up to this God because he binds our hearts to his presence when he gives us a blessing. He doesn't just say, this is for you and you're on your own. Thought I'd give you a little wonderful little saying here, and then you go out and live it out. It's on you. Go ahead. Get going. He actually empowers our steps in it. A blessing is an empowering as well as words of life. With the blessing comes the empowering of God, because his presence comes right inside of us. You see it how it is in the Old Testament, don't you? He bound the generations together with words of life from a father who received it from God. He kind of tied the generations together. In the New Testament, Jesus, with his father in John, their relationship, Jesus reveals the Father throughout the book of John. The book of John has so many names, you know, subtitles, it's unbelievable. The book of belief, the book of the names of God, because so many names of Jesus are revealed. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread. I'm the living bread. I'm the living water. I'm the good shepherd. All those are in John. But it's also called the book where Jesus reveals the Father to us. On Father's Day, we need more of the revelation of the Father and his blessing, because that's what's so empowering for our lives. So in the Old Testament, the Father gave out the blessing to the generations, empowered by Father God. In the New Testament, Jesus exemplified what it is to love your Father in heaven, to be related to him. I and the Father are one, he says. We should be so in agreement with Father God that we're able to step into the blessings that he gives, into the empowering blessings that he gives. We're so in agreement with what he has for our lives. And guess what? He's willing to give us communication on it. Steps along the way. The communications of Acts 2 and Joel 2, he loves to just lavish those to those that are open. That's part of what we learned in the Toronto blessing. God is still speaking today in dreams, visions, pictures, his word, the Holy Spirit's voice. And we can step into his blessing if we receive it. So what does he do? He puts the Holy Spirit right inside of us. He binds us with his presence, so we can't miss anything. That's the plan. So anything where we're missing something, we're either lacking the faith to believe that he actually gave us everything and wants us to know it. We don't trust God. We don't believe God wants to reveal everything to us and give us the plan that he actually has for our lives to bless us and bless other people, build his kingdom. Or we believe him and we step into it. Imperfectly, but we step into it. So we either lack faith, unbelief, or we believe. It ties it all together. Because God has put his very presence inside of us so we wouldn't miss anything. Well, I think I'm missing things. Better tune in to the channel of Holy Spirit. He's right inside of those of us that believe in Jesus. You're not going to miss anything then. He doesn't want you to miss anything. He put the promise inside of you. He put the blessing inside of you so you can't miss it. Everything that he has planned for your life. In the New Testament, the Father's heart of blessing and empowering words for us were fully given to Jesus. And they were revealed in Jesus. He exemplified it with his death and resurrection. He infused it into willing disciples, especially after the Holy Spirit's baptizing presence fully energized them. They passed it on to us at the cost of their lives in many cases. So we now can pass it on to our physical children and our spiritual children. Do you see how this is working through the generations and how it will prepare us for the coming of Jesus, when everything will be tied together, everything will come to a conclusion, and then a new beginning? You are to be a blessing. The physical children that you have, you adopt, you have influence on in this body of believers, and spiritual children. Sometimes they're the same in one. Your physical children can be your spiritual children, obviously. If they still are willing after they're 18 years of age, in the United States of America, you're 18, you're an adult. Make your own decisions. Figure out life. You got it. You're there. You graduated from high school. Or I want to submit to God. And if he says, dear old dad or wonderful old mom, they're always old, I don't know why, when you're 18, they might have something of life to speak into my life. And if they don't, I'm going to find someone that's father-like, mother-like, in a sense, godly, a godly influence that does have something to speak into my life. Part of the Father's blessing. He doesn't always speak directly through Holy Spirit to us. He speaks through someone else commissioned by the Holy Spirit to us. Does the Holy Spirit speak to Mozambique, Africa only directly so that they can come to Jesus? No. He sends a team from Maslin, Canton, Jackson Township, Ohio, over there at great expense to speak life into the people, speak Jesus to the people. Why didn't he just go direct? Save all that money. Save all that time. We can be playing bocce ball out in the yard all summer. He decided to use you to go to Africa, to speak for him, to speak for him, to speak the gospel for him. Why didn't he send the angels? They're pretty fast. Many of them are swift. I hear they're swift. Why didn't he send the angels? He decided to send you. He decided. So a lot of people don't like that he decided that other people can speak into our lives. That's why he calls it a body and not just a bunch of parts. We're supposed to communicate with one another. We're supposed to help one another. The bones are supposed to be connected. And I certainly hope that circulatory system goes all the way through the body to the smallest cells. This is all part of this blessing. And some of us are saying, oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear from God direct. And these other people, you know, they're always challenging me. I'm sure God's much more merciful than they are. Oh, he's merciful. He's gracious, more than any of us. But he decided to have a Father's blessing that still happens today, even though you have Holy Spirit. Words of life can come out of our mouths to one another, out of our mouths to our children, out of our mouths to our spiritual children. Do you have the goal of having some spiritual children, not just some physical children? I sure hope so. Because that's God's plan for every person. It's the joy of life to not only have physical children, but spiritual children. Can you name a spiritual child that you have? Or one that's a potential? It's important. It's part of what he wants for us. In this family of children, we believe that our Heavenly Father is so willing to speak words of life over us and directly to us, to bless us, to favor us, to guide us, to empower us, to strengthen us, and to use us effectively to build his kingdom. Sometimes he even sings with joy over us, as I mentioned at the beginning, Zephaniah 3:17. If we walk in obedience to these words of life from our Heavenly Father, we progress from glory to glory. Is that just a nice little phrase? Kind of like that one, glory to glory. Glory to glory. Just walk up to somebody in the grocery store and say, glory to glory. See what kind of look you get. If they start dancing, then you know. We progress from glory to glory, even through persecution, trial, and suffering, It's true, though. Part of the blessing is to put us through the hard times. And the Bible makes it clear, there will be hard times. But he's there to help you overcome. He's in you to overcome. If we walk in disobedience to our Father's words of life for us, our choices of rebellion against the Father's plan for our best are not rewarded with the Spirit's empowering presence, favor, and guidance. If we're disobedient and we just say, well, God, I'm disobedient. What are you going to do about it? Or hopefully you aren't watching me. Or don't watch this, God. Or don't listen to this attitude. Or don't listen to my words about other people. We test the graciousness, the mercy, the justice of a Father who is able to allow severe consequences for our selfishness. You know, the prodigal son walked away from a loving father. He demanded inheritance that he didn't even deserve, and the father gave it to him, even though he knew he was headed for rebellion. Gracious, merciful, incredible love. That son went out and jumped with the pigs eventually. First he was with the pigs in parties, and then he was in the pigs with the results of the parties. And he suddenly came to himself. Oh, I have a loving father. He's given me everything. I don't deserve to be a son anymore. I'll go back as a servant. I'll serve my father. And he developed his whole speech on the way home. You can see him with his head hanging down on the way home. I'm going to say, God, or I'm going to say, Dad, forgive me. Forgive me. I've been an idiot. I wasted all your money. And blah, 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 blah. And as he's on his way, the father sees him from the porch or wherever you imagine. He runs out to meet him, throws his arms around him, and reminds him, you're still under the blessing. You're still under the blessing. You're still receiving the blessing. Connected to the Father, he could believe it. Close connection with the presence of his father was what convinced him he could still experience the blessing even though he screwed up big time. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have screwed up big time? At any time, like this morning. And you don't have to raise your hands. Oh. So many were willing to start that road of repentance. The Father still has a plan of blessing for you. Because we screw up doesn't mess up the blessings. It's if we refuse it. We just refuse it. I don't want you to kick in the blessing for me. I don't deserve it. And that's what the son tried to do. He came back and he said, I'll go out and I'll live with the servants. No, we're going to have a party. I'll party. Connected to the Father, we can always renew the blessing. Apart from the Father, we don't even want to often. It's a regret. Fear of what the Father might think, or fear of the Father. Like Adam and Eve. Did Adam and Eve come seeking the Father in the garden? The one that gave them the blessing of all blessings with an absolute pure place, beautiful place, the most beautiful place that's ever existed on earth, to hang out with him in, and that was their only job. Hang out with God in the cool, that feels good today, doesn't it? Cool of the garden. Cool, feel it. Of the garden. That was their job. They didn't start working until after they messed up. They didn't start having problems until after they messed up. They didn't see that they were without clothes until they messed up. And before God, did they run to him? Oh, we really screwed up. Sorry. No, they were hiding. That's what we do. And we miss the blessing he's trying to give. Even when we screwed up, he's got a plan. Even when you screw up, he's got a plan. He factored in your screw-ups into the blessing. My screw-ups, I'll say it for me too. Okay, me too. He factored that all in. Now that's a real blessing. Jesus died so the Father's blessing could reach his fullness. Jesus rose from the dead so the blessing could reach its fullness. He gave us the real huge down payment of the Holy Spirit as the blessing to energize the blessing. You can see how this works. And I had someone that was training me in the past that said, don't ever use the word blessing. It just has no impact. People say it all the time. God bless you. And so every time I've said bless or written bless to someone since, I've made sure my heart was behind it. You don't stop saying you bless people. Just get your heart behind it. Get your heart behind it. That's what God does when he blesses. He gets his heart behind it. Jacob got his heart behind this. So much so he was hearing right from God when he gave out this blessing to his sons. So, I thought we would read a blessing over our children, our spiritual children, anyone you want to bless today. As a father, if you want to join in as a mother, you want to join in as a father-to-be, a mother-to-be, a person interested in spiritual children, I guess it would be anybody here that loves Jesus. So you only have to stand if you want to stand. Was that a wave in the back? No. We can, if it was just about the children, that would be one thing. So after we do this, it would be good because this is just kind of a one-way prayer to do it, one-way to do it prayer. You would want to do it with your own children. You would want to make it special. And even here, with all the commotion of bringing them in here and so on, I don't think they would sense the specialness. That's why I'm not bringing them in. Not that I don't want to bless them. That's what this is about, part of it. So if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. That way no one feels like they're standing out. But if you just can't sit on something like this, you go ahead and stand. Now you'll have to fit in the person's name in the blank. So when I pause, that's for you to put in a person's name. So if you have like four children, we're going to pause for a while. If you have a bunch of spiritual children, we're going to pause for a while as you think through who you're speaking to and what you really mean from the heart for them. So I'll go slow with this. Let it sink into you as well. And as I say it over you, receive it from Father God through me to you. It's supposed to work that way. You're supposed to receive a blessing from spiritual leaders, a blessing over your life. And part of that is hard to hear. If you read through Genesis 49, you're going to say, whoa, that was a blessing? There's some pretty straight talk in there to some of the sons. But yes, it is. Prophecy that's hard to hear is not disqualified, is it? It's kind of important. So here we go. Father, I receive. I know we can do it a little better than that after such a, you know, I really punched into this message. So I know it's going to be more than Father, I receive. Remember, I'm going slow. You're not going to miss anything. So go ahead and punch it. Father, I receive.
Father, I receive.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Welcome. And acknowledge.
And acknowledge.
Who? Who do you acknowledge? Speak it out. As a delightful blessing from you, I speak your blessings upon I bless you in the name of Jesus. Proclaiming the blessings of God, my Redeemer, upon you. May he give you wisdom of reverential fear of God. Oh, I love that. You kind of revved it up on reverential. And a heart of love. May he create in you the desire to attend to his words, a willing and obedient heart, that you may consent and submit to his sayings and walk in his ways. May your eyes look straight ahead with purpose for the future. May your tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. A ready writer. Writing mercy and kindness upon the tablets of your heart. May you speak the truth in love. May your hands do the work of the Father. May your feet walk the paths that he has foreordained for you. Foreordained for you, sorry. I have no greater joy than this. To hear that my children are living their lives in truth. May the Lord prepare you. And your present or future mate to love and honor one another. And may he grant to you your unions, upright sons and daughters who will live in accordance with his word. May your source of livelihood be honorable, so that you will earn a living with your own hands. May you always worship God in spirit and in truth. I pray above all things that you may always prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and my God. One more thing that we want to pray is a hedge around those that we love, those that we want to bless. Job prayed a hedge around his children, and the enemy complained to God he couldn't get past it, he couldn't get through. So if that hedge is that powerful for Job's time, it can be even more energized in our time. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus to bind and rebuke Satan and to put a hedge of protection around and everyone in our family, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, our strong tower of many names. Amen. Father, we thank you, God. We pray that you would empower these prayers of blessing, God. It's not a rote thing. It's a heart thing. We may have tripped over the words, but our hearts have said it purely to you. You read our hearts. You read our hearts. You always have. So, God, take what's in our hearts today towards those that we've blessed and others that we'll think about, God, as we go through this day of Father's Day, God. Other family members, other members of the body of Christ, other people that we care about to bring in to know Jesus and his many blessings and many names. Jesus, you're our Savior, but you're the Savior of the world. We want the world to know, not out of obligation, but out of joy, that they can have the life possible because of your Father's blessing. Thank you for revealing the Father, Jesus. We wouldn't know him very well without your revelation of who he is. He's a Father that gives good gifts. He's a Father that when he disciplines us, it's for our good and for the good of the kingdom. Jesus, You've revealed a Father that's so loving that we're drawn to Him, so caring that we're drawn to Him, so forgiving that we're drawn to Him, so merciful that we're drawn to Him, so filled with justice we're drawn to Him, so fair and right and good we're drawn to the Father that You've revealed. Now we want to take that blessing of knowing the Father and give it out to so many lives, the person in front of us or the person that's in our family, God. Those close to You, those wayward from You. We want the Father's blessing on this day and every day forward, God, in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a word we speak to someone of encouragement, whether it's a prophecy that You give to us to give to someone to lift them up to a much higher level of living for You, God, whatever it is, it's a Father's blessing because everything You put in our life is part of it. We declare today we will be agents of giving it away. We will be representatives of giving it away. We will be ambassadors of giving it away to bring You glory. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Enjoy your donuts.